drink some of this water. You might not keep bringing it.
Okay, I can get more.
Thank you, brother. Sure appreciated the song service this morning and sweet prayer that's been offered, and do ask each of you just to continue to pray for me as I stand before you. If you have your Bibles and would like to turn with me, I want to encourage you to do that. I'd like to read to you from the 115th division of the Psalm this morning. If I have any thoughts, it's centered around this passage of Scripture. And do ask that the Lord would just stir my mind and my heart, that I might follow His leadership and be able to preach in power and demonstration of the Spirit the things that honor and glorify the Lord. I know this psalm is somewhat familiar to us, at least I hope it is, and if not, I hope we become more and more familiar with it, because it surely declares a wonderful truth, as the rest of the entirety of the Bible does. The Bible is that which truly supplies and gives us what we need as God's children. It truly furnishes us unto all good works. And I pray that God would just bless us to look at it together. Psalm 115, we'll read it in your hearing. There are 18 verses in Psalm 115. Psalm 115, beginning at verse 1. It says, "Not unto us, O Lord, not unto us, but unto thy name give glory, for thy mercy and for thy truth's sake. Wherefore should the heathen say, where is now their God? But our God is in the heavens. He hath done whatsoever he hath pleased. Their idols are silver and gold, the work of men's hands. They have mouths, but they speak not. Eyes they have they, but they see not. They have ears, but they hear not. Noses have they, but they smell not. They have hands, but they handle not. Feet have they, but they walk not. Neither speak they through their throat. They that make them are like unto them. So is everyone that trusteth in them. O Israel, trust thou in the Lord. He is their help and their shield. O house of Aaron, trust in the Lord. He is their help and their shield. Ye that fear the Lord, trust in the Lord. He is their help and their shield. The Lord hath been mindful of us. He will bless us. He will bless the house of Israel. He will bless the house of Aaron. He will bless them that fear the Lord, both small and great. The Lord shall increase you more and more, you and your children. Ye are blessed of the Lord, which made heaven and earth. The heaven, even the heavens, are the Lord's, but the earth hath he given to the children of men. The dead praise not the Lord, neither any that go down into silence. But we will bless the Lord from this time forth and forevermore. Praise the Lord." And last night we tried to talk on Psalm 113, which the subject of that was praising the Lord. And really, when we get down to the Bible and what the message of the Bible is, it's to God's children that they ought to be praising the Lord. Psalm 115 in verse 1, there's a statement that's made that's very, very important for us to understand, and that is, "Not unto us, O Lord, not unto us, but unto thy name give glory." And if we're going to praise the Lord today, it's going to be to give glory to his name. That is what praising the Lord is all about. And part of giving glory to his name is to recognize that we do not give glory to our name because we're due no glory. That's very important in what we believe and what we hold to. The Lord will not and does not share his glory with anyone. He should not, because all glory and honor and praise belongs to the Lord. The reason that we shouldn't glory is because that we have no place to glory in and of ourselves. Without the Lord, we can do absolutely nothing. There's no good in us, not one bit. Therefore, there's no room for us to brag or boast in and of ourselves. If any man glory, the Apostle Paul wrote, let him glory in the Lord. And yet, and we have so much to glory in today, but not in us, but in the Lord. And the psalmist here says, "Not unto us, O Lord, not unto us, but unto thy name give glory." And today we have every reason to give glory to the name of the Lord, and absolutely no reason to give any glory to ourselves. But isn't it the nature of man to give glory to himself? We read over in the 10th Psalm, I believe it is, one of the verses there, around 3 or 4 in Psalms 10. A statement that's made there that identifies the wicked and the nature of the wicked. And by the way, that would be all of us. If it were not for the grace of God, we would be numbered among the wicked. If it were not for the grace of God, we are by nature wicked. Our righteousness is but as filthy rags. He says in verse 4 of Psalms 10, "The wicked, through the pride of his countenance, will not seek after God. God is not in all his thoughts." What is it about the man that doesn't cause him to seek after God? Well, he doesn't feel like he needs God. He feels, in the pride of his countenance, he feels like he's sufficient in and of himself. No doubt you and I can look back in our own lives, maybe don't have to look back so far, and see some times where we thought we were just sufficient of our own self. We wonder where that thought comes from. Well, if it were not for the grace of God, that would be our thoughts continually. If you have a thought today and an understanding that you can't make it without the Lord, and you can't get through this world without Him, and you can't handle life, and you can't handle what's going on by yourself, the reason you have that understanding is because the Lord has awakened you to it and allowed you to see it and understand it. And therefore, rather than trusting in ourselves and leaning upon ourselves, we're told to trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not on thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct thy path. So when you and I get in trouble in this world, most of the time we go back to the root of it. It's because we started trusting in ourselves rather than leaning and trusting totally upon the Lord. We start leaning on our own understanding. I'm prone to do that. And you are prone to do that. And one of the duties and responsibilities of the minister is to tell you that in and of yourself you can do absolutely nothing, so that you might understand that I need to trust in the Lord for every single thing in my life. We certainly need to trust in the Lord as far as heaven is concerned, because if the Lord doesn't by His grace carry us to glory, we won't get there. It's only by His grace and through His grace that we have a desire to be there. It's only by His grace and through His grace that we even understand there's a heaven that awaits God's little children, and understand what we would deserve had we got our just deserts. And when we really understand the mercy of Almighty God, and God's mercy is so wonderful, how great is His mercy. It's because of His mercy that we are, it is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed. Over in the book of Lamentations, I read over there in the book of written by Jeremiah in the book of Lamentations. And by the way, if you ever feel like you're having a bad day and you want to read a passage of scripture that really shows you what a bad day is all about, I encourage you to read the third chapter of the book of Lamentations. Because when you begin reading in the third chapter of the book of Lamentations, you really see from the prophet Jeremiah what a bad day is all about. And he was a little child of God. Even from his mother's womb, the Lord had worked on his heart, and he had been called a prophet. And here this prophet was speaking of all of the problems that he was facing. And I've had some rough days in my time, but when I read this passage this morning, I thought, you know, that's really what a bad day is all about. I'll just read it in your hearing. Here's the words of Jeremiah. He said, "I am the man that has seen affliction by the rod of his wrath. He hath led me and brought me into darkness, but not into light. Surely against me is he turned. He turneth his hand against me all the day. My flesh and my skin hath he made old. He hath broken my bones. He hath builded against me and compassed me with gall and travail. He hath set me in dark places as they that be dead of old. He hath hedged me about that I cannot get out. He hath made my chain heavy. Also when I cry and shout, he shutteth out my prayer. He hath enclosed my ways with hewn stone. He hath made my paths crooked. He was unto me as a bear lying in wait, and as a lion in secret places. He hath turned aside my ways and pulled me in pieces. He hath made me desolate. He hath bent his bow and set me as a mark for the arrow. He hath caused the arrow of his quiver to enter into my reins. I was a derision to all my people and their song all the day. He hath filled me with bitterness. He hath made me drunken with wormwood. He has also broken my teeth with gravel stones. He hath covered me with ashes. And thou hast removed my soul far off from peace. I forgot prosperity. And I said, my strength and my hope is perished from the Lord. Remembering mine affliction and my misery, the wormwood and the gall, my soul hath them still in remembrance and is humbled in me. That's a dear brother that's been brought to a place where he can't see anything but seemingly down and can't apparently look up at all. But he's not without hope. That's the good news of this passage. Would it be a shame if we just stopped here at verse 20 and just didn't go any farther and just saw what misery? Have you ever had one of those times where you just seemed like you couldn't see good and everywhere you looked it seemed bad and it just seemed like everything was going the wrong direction and nothing was going right and you felt like the Lord had clean gone and left you? Well, you're not alone, because Jeremiah certainly describes that kind of feeling. And sometimes we wonder, why would I ever have to go through any times or any troubles like this in this world? Notice what he says, my soul hath them still in remembrance and is humbled in me. Remember the problem that we have as the wicked through the pride of his countenance. We will not seek after God. God is not in all our thoughts. When the Lord brings us to a place like this, I'll tell you what, we learn how much we need the Lord and how much we need to call upon Him. And many times He teaches us that in the pathway of troubles and problems and conflicts in the world, we're made to really see how much we need the Lord. And though we are sometimes hard-pressed to see how God could possibly love us at that time, I'm telling you, the eyes of the Lord are right there with us, loving us all the way, even as He chastens us, as He corrects us, as He calls us to a place of humility before Him. God is looking over us for good, and what a wonderful thing to know that. And I'm not going to leave us there, because that gets us to verse 20. I'm sure glad He goes on with verse 21. He says, this I recall to my mind, therefore have I hope. In other words, when he thinks about everything in himself, he says, there's no hope in me. Everything that's going on, it seems like I see nothing but solid walls hindering me from any joy, any rest, and any peace. Where is my rest? Where is my peace? Where is my prosperity? He goes on and he says, this I recall to my mind, therefore have I hope. It is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed. In other words, God has been so merciful to us. When did God's mercy begin for us? Really, Brother Terry has already mentioned it in his prayer that we sometimes feel like we have chosen the Lord, because that seems to be our desire of our heart to want to choose Him. But I'll tell you, if we ever wanted the Lord, if we ever saw a need of the Lord, if we ever called out to Him, if we ever had a hunger and a need for Him, it's because He loved us even before the very foundation of the world. God's mercy was there when He saw His people out of every nation, out of every kindred, out of every tongue, and out of every people. He saw them in their fallen state and in their great need. And God made a sovereign choice of them. And every one of them for whom He made choice of, He loved with an everlasting, unconditional love. And He sent His only begotten Son here into this world to die for them. And their mercy was shown unto us when the Lord took our payment on the tree of the cross, and that which would be due us, that would be ours as a just deserts for our sins, was poured out upon the Lord Jesus Christ, and mercy was shown unto us, and grace was given to us, that He died for us and paid the sin debt, and He removed it from us as far as the east is from the west, never to be remembered against us anymore. So that as soon as we leave this old world, to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. Do you love the Lord today? Well, if you love the Lord, it's because He first loved you. When did He love you? So far back there, before the foundation of the world, He loved you. Will He ever stop loving you? Does God change? He changes not. It is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed. It is of the Lord's mercy that hell doesn't await me, because what I have deserved by my actions and by my behaviors, the wages of sin is death, and that's eternal death. And I have sinned, and you have sinned. We've all sinned and come short of the glory of God. And the only way we'll ever enter heaven, our bright, pure world, is through the blood of Jesus and the grace of Almighty God. God, and you and I can rest in that. It is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed. And by the way, that same mercy that has assured us of a heaven and assured us of a place when we die is the same mercy and grace that will keep us through every storm and trouble that we ever face in this world. And we're not going to be able to handle it on our own. We have to lean upon the Lord. And when we get in the flesh, the old pride of our countenance wants to take it on ourselves, and we want to handle it. Oh, how much peace and rest and joy God's little children get when they cast all their cares upon Him, for He cares for you, and we leave them there. We trust in the Lord and just leave eternal things in the hands of God, leave timely things in the hands of God, because He's the only one who can handle them. He says, "This I recall to my mind, and therefore I have I hope. It is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed, because His compassions fail not." That means God's love never fails. Every day He loves you. When Jeremiah was saying all that, did God love him? Absolutely. God hadn't changed. Jeremiah felt like he was forsaken. Sometimes you and I feel like we're forsaken. Sometimes you and I feel all alone. Sometimes you and I get to where we feel like the Lord is clean gone and left us. But let's remember His truth and glory in His mercy and in His truth. His truth is that He will never leave us nor forsake us. He's with us in every situation and every trial. And the Word of God promises that. And you and I, by faith, can embrace that truth and find great joy and peace and rest, even in the midst of the storms of our life. He says, "It is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed, because His compassions fail not." Now listen, the gods of this world, the little gods that men make, can't help you a bit. You can build them, you can shine them up, you can set them up, you can prop them up, you can trust in them. Sometimes those gods come in all kinds of forms. They might be an automobile, or there might be a house, or there might be a bank account, or there might be your job, or there might be your family, or there may even be... They're all different. There are gods many and lords many. They are sometimes the work of men's hands, made out of silver and gold, the most valuable things that men think are in this world. But remember this, one day those elements are going to melt with a fervent heat. And those things, you can't carry them with you, and they will not help you at all. It is vain to make an idol. It is vain to trust in an idol. Those that make them are like unto them, and you and I, in trusting in the Lord, are not trusting in idols. Isn't that wonderful? I remember on the day Elijah stood before that great multitude, and he stood before Israel, and he told them, "How long halt ye between two opinions? If God be God, then serve Him. But if Baal is God, serve him." And there was a decision to make whether they were going to serve God or serve Baal. Can I say to you this? There really is no decision about that. Because when it comes down to serving God, beside Him there is none other. We have one God. Aren't you glad of that? One, the God of Abraham is the God of heaven. The God of Isaac is the God of heaven. The God of Jacob, the God of Israel, the God of His chosen people, the God who chose us. We didn't make Him, He made us. Men make gods all the time, and they can't help man because they're like man. Those that make them are like unto them. That means that as empty and vain as the idol is, as empty and vain the person who makes them are. We would be in that state of mind and continue there were it not for God's mercy and for God's grace. And if God has allowed you to see that He's God, then by all means trust in Him. And remember those prophets of Baal, as they stood there and they cried unto the Lord. And Elijah, read that over in 1 Kings chapter 18. You'll just read there, Elijah just kind of made fun of them and laughed at them. He said, "Well, maybe your God's on a trip, and maybe He's on a journey. You're crying and you're yelling at Him, and you're cutting yourself with stones, and you're doing all kinds of things to get His attention. Where is He?" And the reason that there was no God to answer, As the sacrifice had been put there and the altar was made and the sacrifice was made and the one who was going to answer by fire was going to be God. And those prophets of Baal cried all day long, and He just let them go on and cry. And the more they cried, the more He pointed out there's no God. There are a lot of people who would look at us and say, "Where is your God?" Especially when you're going through the storm. Sometimes don't we ask that question? Let's just be honest about that. We should not ever ask the question. We should not ever wonder where our God is. We should know from the Word of God. But sometimes when God's little children get in a place of doubt and fear, we're wondering, where are you? God, where is your presence? And then the heathen comes to say unto us, they'll come crying, where is your God? I'll tell you, the Word of God gives us an answer. Just like the God of Elijah, when he cried out, remember what Elijah did? He said the Lord's going to answer by fire, and the fire was just, it wasn't. Let's just turn to that and read a little bit of that over in 1 Kings chapter 18. It says, and Elijah said unto the prophets of Baal, choose you one bullock for yourselves and dress it first, for ye are many, and call on the name of your gods. But put no fire under it. This is in verse 25 of 1 Kings 18. Elijah, he says, you go ahead and pick whichever one you want. Whether you want this bullock or that bullock, you choose the one that you want. And he says, ye are many. There's many of you. Sometimes we wonder, well, there's just a few of us. Does that? We must not be right if there's only a few of us. You can never tell by the number who's in the right and who's in the wrong. I'll tell you what the Bible says, that there, broad is the way, and broad is the way, and many go in thereat, that leads unto destruction, and narrow is the way, and straight is the way that leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it. And this narrow, straight way, though there's just a few that know and understand the truth, be thankful that we understand and know that the Lord, He is God, and we're not trusting in Him. Isn't it good to have a God who has eyes who can really see? The gods of this world have eyes and can't see. Isn't it good that we know wherever we go, the eyes of the Lord are in every place, beholding the good and the evil? Isn't it good to know that when you call upon the Lord, He hears you, that He has ears to hear you? He doesn't just have ears that men have put there, but He has an ear to really hear you. Listen, when you pray, the Lord hears you. We have evidence of that in our lives, that the Lord has heard our prayers. We sing a hymn, and He walks with me, and He talks with me, and He tells me I am His own. He has a mouth, and He speaks to us. He has eyes, and He sees with us. He has hands that handle, and we feel the touch of His gentle hand. We sing about leaning on His everlasting arms, and have we not felt His presence manifest to us over and over again? Listen, we're not talking about a God who isn't real. We're talking about the God of the Bible, who is the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob, who deserves all the glory and all the praise for His mercy and His truth's sake. We're duly bound to give Him praise and honor and glory. It says, and they took the bullock which was given them, and they dressed it, and called on the name of Baal from morning even until noon, saying, O Baal, hear us. But there was no voice or any that answered. Wonder why there was no voice or any that answered. Because there was none to hear. And there, he had a mouth, but he couldn't speak. He had eyes, he couldn't see. He had ears, he couldn't hear, because he was the creation of man. How silly is it for man to worship the creation? We do that sometimes. Men worship that which is created. We've seen some beautiful, beautiful scenes as we walked and hiked and did certain things. But we're not to worship mountains. Men have worshipped mountains. We're not to worship valleys. We're not to worship the sun or the moon or the stars. We're not to worship any created thing. We're not to worship creatures. We're to worship the Creator. We're certainly not to worship men or preachers or anyone else. We're to worship the Creator who created all things. All things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. So how silly is it if we know not to worship things that are created, is it to worship things that are created by creatures? In other words, man makes a God. And guess what kind of God that will be? It'll be just like man. It'll be as helpless as man. It'll be as ignorant as man. It'll be as blind as man. It'll have a mouth that can't speak, an ear that can't hear, an eye that can't see. It'll have no strength or no ability. And that's what the psalmist wrote about that we have read in your hearing in Psalm 115. And so it is vain to trust in them. And we see that right here. He says, O Baal, hear us. But there was no voice or any that answered. And they leaped upon the altar which was made, trying to get their God's attention. And it came to pass at noon that Elijah mocked them and said, cry aloud. For he is a God. Either he is talking, or he is pursuing, or he is in a journey, or peradventure he sleepeth and must be awake. Isn't that something to have a God who might do all of those things? But listen, now there was no God there. Elijah was just pointing out the insufficiency of their God. Listen, our life is filled with the evidence that our God is sufficient. Can you look back in your life and see every time or the many times that God has been right there in the midst of the storm, in the midst of the problem, when you needed someone to hold you, He held you. When you needed someone to hear you, He heard you. When you needed someone to see and understand, and no man could, the Lord saw and understand. Listen, where you are right now, even if you're where Jeremiah is, you call to remembrance how good the Lord has been to you. I was reading in the book of Joshua, over in the third and fourth chapter of the book of Joshua yesterday, about the deliverance of Joshua across the Jordan River into Canaan's land, and what a wonderful experience that was. And as those men carrying the ark entered into the water stood up as a heap, and they walked across and stood in the middle of the Jordan River, and it was at its fullest banks. And there, as they stood in the middle of that Jordan River, all of the children of Israel were able to cross right past those priests and go to the other side. And there they picked up 12 stones, and they set up those stones on the other side. And they did that they might remember the deliverance of the Lord. No doubt some of them, Joshua and Caleb, and they no doubt had heard the story of when they'd come out of Egypt in the Red Sea. Many of them had died in the wilderness, but here they'd been for 40 years in the wilderness and now delivered by the promises of God into Canaan's land. And they said, put up these stones. And then in the middle of that Jordan River, they also put those stones up so that they might have a remembrance, that their children might know and understand how good the Lord had been to them, that they might remember that. I say our life is filled with Ebenezer stones. That is, places where we see the Lord was with me, and I wouldn't have made it through it without the Lord being with me. Can you see places in your life right now that you absolutely know the Lord and feel and understand that the Lord was with you, and you wouldn't have made it through if the Lord hadn't been with you? He's given you that time and that place. Well, I say put that up in your memory and call that back to remembrance, and tell your children and tell your loved ones around you how good the Lord has been to you. Listen, you and I have a story to tell how great and how good the Lord has been to us. So then when we get those dark times like Lamentations 3 in the beginning, we'll have something to call to mind and remember the goodness and the mercy of the Lord. It is of the Lord's mercies that we're not consumed. He said, but there was no voice or any that answered. And it came to pass at noon that Elijah mocked them and said, cry aloud, for he is a God. Either he is talking, or he is pursuing, or he is in a journey, or peradventure he sleepeth and must be awake. Isn't it wonderful to have a God who does not sleep? You know, you call your preacher, sometimes he might be asleep. He might be on a journey. He might be on a trip. He might, you know, that's why it's wonderful to have our brothers and sisters, but they can't always help you, can you? Your husband can't always help you. So your wife can't always help you, but I'll tell you, we got a God who can help you in every single circumstance, because He doesn't slumber, nor does He sleep. We have a God who hears us, who knows us, who loves us, who cannot fail to lean and trust upon. And though I'm not saying it as good as I want to tell you today to trust Him with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind, and you'll find peace and joy and rest and leaning upon Him. He says, and Elijah, and they cried aloud and cut themselves after their manner with knives and lancets till the blood gushed out upon them. And it came to pass, verse 29 of 1 Kings 18, and it came to pass when midday was past, and they prophesied until the time of the offering of the evening sacrifice, that there was neither voice nor any to answer nor any that regarded. And Elijah said unto the people, come near unto me. And all the people came near unto him, and he repaired the altar of the Lord that was broken down. And Elijah took 12 stones, according to the number of the tribes of the sons of Jacob, unto whom the word of the Lord came, saying, Israel shall be thy name. And with that, and with the stones he built an altar. And in the name of the Lord he made a trench about the altar, as great as would contain 2 measures of seed. And he put the wood in order, and cut the bullock in pieces, and laid him on the wood, and said, Fill 4 barrels with water, and pour it on the burnt sacrifice and on the wood. And he said, Do it the second time. Here they're pouring 4 barrels of water on the sacrifice. They've tried to call fire down from heaven and have been totally, completely unsuccessful because there was no God. And so Elijah is going to prove that there's a God in Israel. So he lays the bullock out and to offer as a sacrifice unto the Lord and to prove that the Lord will answer by fire. And in order to make sure no one thought anything happened here that wasn't just from the Lord, he poured water on that sacrifice. 4 barrels of it. And there, the 4 barrels, he did it one time, and then he poured 4 more barrels on it the second time, and then he poured 4 more barrels on it the third time. Lord, this sacrifice is wet now. I'll tell you, can God answer by fire even when you sacrifice and when the offering's wet? Can he do that? Well, did he do that? Absolutely. You ever see things that seem impossible in your life? You ever face something you think, this is just impossible? There's no answer for this. You get so discouraged and despondent. I want you to remember there's a God who didn't have any trouble, no matter how many barrels of water was poured on the sacrifice. And to prove that, the prophet, in order to God's little children, he knew this, but in order that God's little children might see it, he poured 12 barrels of water on the sacrifice. And the water, how much water was it? He said, do it the third time. And they did it the third time. And the water ran down about the altar. Can you see it? And he filled the trench also with water. There was water in the trench. And it came to pass at the time of the offering of the evening sacrifice that Elijah the prophet came near and said, Lord, this is the name of the Lord. This is the God we serve today. The God of Abraham, Isaac, and of Israel. Listen, God's chosen people. We could put our name there. He's our God. He's my God. He's that friend that sticketh closer than a brother. He says, let it be known unto thee, that let it be known this day that thou art a God in Israel, and that I am thy servant, and that I have done all these things at thy word. And I'll tell you, when God's little children follow the word of God and you follow what the Bible's teaching you and telling you, you're standing on good ground, and you'll not be ashamed you did that. As you trust in the Lord, you won't be ashamed. You trust in the Lord. If you build an idol, you'll be ashamed. You'll come up short. But if you trust in the Lord, you'll not be ashamed. And he said, I've done all these things at thy word. And verse 37 says, Hear me, O Lord. Hear me, that this people may know that thou art the Lord God. This didn't make God. God was already God, but he's about to prove that he's God. And I'm telling you, our lives are filled with the evidence that the Lord, he is God. And he says, Hear me, O Lord, hear me, that this people may know that thou art the Lord God, and that thou hast turned their heart back again. And then the fire of the Lord fell. And I love to read this. And it consumed the burnt sacrifice. But that wasn't all. It says, and the wood. That wasn't all. And the stones. That wasn't all. And the dust. That wasn't all. And licked up the water that was in the trench. Who is this God? Well, it wasn't an idol. Listen, they still hollering at the idol. He could not answer because he was not God. The one we trust in is this God. The God, he's just the same today. And he licked up the water that was in the trench. And when all the people saw it, they fell on their faces and they said, The Lord, he is the God. The Lord, he is the God. And I say today, may that be our response today in our lives. And in the book of Lamentations, he says, It is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed, because his compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. Which means the God of yesterday is the God of today. You can count on him being the same. He's the same when you're feeling good. He's the same when you're feeling bad. He's the same when you're trusting in him. He's the same when you're not trusting in him. God does not change based on us. But because he is who he is, should not you and I repent and trust him and lean upon him with all our heart, with all our soul, and with all our mind? He says they are new every morning. And then verse 24, the same prophet who had written all of those other 20 verses by the grace of God, he says in verse 24, the Lord is my portion. Even though your life circumstances are very, very, very bleak, remember this. If the Lord is your portion, that means the Lord is your inheritance. That means the Lord belongs to you. Which the reason the Lord belongs to you is because you belong to Him. The Lord is my God because I am His child. He's the one who's chosen me and blessed me. But because He is my God. We have a God. The Lord, He is the God. And He is our God. He is my God. And He says, the Lord is my portion, saith my soul. Therefore will I hope in Him. And listen, if the Lord belongs to us, what are we afraid of? What are we troubled by? There's nothing to be afraid of. We, as the Apostle Paul said in the Hebrew letter, I will not fear what men shall do unto me. He says, the Lord is good unto them that wait for Him. So where are you? Are you waiting for Him? Well, the Lord's going to be good. He is good to them that wait for Him, to the soul that seeketh Him. It is good that a man should both hope and quietly wait for the salvation of the Lord. And they get us back very quickly over into Psalm 115. Got a few minutes. Psalm 115. He says, wherefore should the heathen say, where is now their God? Listen, there will be men who scoff and say there is no God and there's no reason to trust in Him. There is an old nature in us that's prone to wander, that's bent for backsliding, that will cause us sometimes to doubt and to fear. And when we get there, let us come back to the Word. Let us read what's in 1 Kings that He left there of how He delivered the prophet Elijah. Let us remember how He was with His apostles in the New Testament. Let us remember how He's been with us. Let us remember the times in our life that the Lord has been so good to us that we might trust in the Lord, even on those days where we just say, I'm not having a good day. I'm not having a good day. Just remember, we can still hope in the Lord, and our trust is in Him. And He said, wherefore should the heathen say, where is now their God? We have an answer to that one who would say, where is your God when you're going through the trouble? Listen, our God's in the heavens. Isn't that good to know? Our God is in the heavens. And He had done whatsoever He had pleased. He didn't say He's done everything I pleased, everything you pleased, everything we wanted. He didn't say you're going to get it your way. That's the old pride of the countenance. This man, the wicked through the pride of his countenance, that's what that, I want it my way. I want it done my way. Well, it's not, He never promised to do it our way. He has promised that He would do it the best way, which is His way. Not our way, but His way. Not my way, but Thy way. And all when we rest in that, in the finished work of the Lord, that what peace we can have. He says, our Lord, our God is in the heavens. He had done whatsoever He had pleased. And then He goes on, and I've already mentioned these. I'll just read them in your hearing again. He says, their idols are silver and gold, the work of men's hands. And if a man has made it, then it's just a creation of the creature. What a weak thing that is. And certainly should not be worshipped. And he says, even though made of silver and gold, that's the best that man has, but even those elements are going to melt with a fervent heat one day when the Lord comes again. And he says, they have mouths, but they speak not. The eyes they have, but they see not. They have ears, but they hear not. Noses have they, but they smell not. And every one of those things that are said, what they can't do, God can do. He has a mouth and He does speak. He has eyes and He does see. He has ears and He does hear. He has noses. He has a nose and He smells. The prayers of the Lord's people even go up to Him as a sweet smelling savor, as an incense to God, even in heaven. When you're praying, God, and when we're singing and praying unto the Lord, it's as a sweet smelling savor to the Lord. And he says, they have hands, but they handle not. Our God has hands and He handles us all the time. Our feet have they, but they walk not. Our God walks, He walks, He's everywhere present. He's nowhere absent. Neither speak they through their throat. And they that make them are like unto them. That means as empty as the idol is, the one who makes the idol is just that empty. So is everyone that trusteth in them. And O Israel, trust thou in the Lord. That's God's chosen people. What are we to do? Trust in the Lord. Why? He is their help. God's my help and He's my shield. He's my protector. O house of Aaron, this is talking about the ministry. O house of Aaron, trust in the Lord. He is their help and their shield. The ministry has to trust in the Lord and lean upon the Lord in order to be a benefit to the Lord's people. And the Lord's people are not to trust in the house of Aaron, they're to trust in the Lord. And the house of Aaron, the Lord's ministers are to trust in the Lord. We all trust in the Lord, lean upon Him. And ye that fear the Lord, whether we're Jew, Gentile, whatever we are, those that fear the Lord are those that are called by the Lord and given life by the Lord. They trust in the Lord. He is their help and their shield. Verse 12 says, the Lord hath been mindful of us. And He will bless us. That's a promise we can count on. Great is His faithfulness. He will bless the house of Israel. He will bless the house of Aaron. He will bless them that fear the Lord, both small and great. The Lord shall increase you more and more, you and your children. And oh, we are to grow in grace and knowledge of the truth. Ye are blessed of the Lord which made heaven and earth. What a Lord we have. And the heaven, even the heavens are the Lord's, but the earth hath He given to the children of men. The dead praise not the Lord, neither any that go down into silence. That means until God gives us life, we can't praise Him. And even our natural body ceases to praise Him for a period of time. Though the soul and the spirit praise Him in heaven, one day this natural body will be made alive again at the resurrection, and will body, soul, and spirit praise the Lord forever in glory. Verse 18 says that, but we will bless the Lord from this time forth and forevermore. And then he concludes with praise the Lord. And may the Lord add his blessings to anything that's been said that's good and right and worthwhile. We appreciate your kind attention. God bless you.
I hope it was all right, brother. God bless you.